Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Pigskin Dispatch's Early Pro Teams Tribute of Football, we take a deep dive into the origins and a very interesting history of the Boston Yanks franchise and where they ended up in today's era of football. It's all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have the early spotlight on professional football teams. We like to try to do it at the beginning of each week. I know we've missed a couple here recently, but we want to get back into that mode. And one team that we have not talked about yet is a very unique name, the Boston Yanks. And the Boston Yanks franchise started operations in June 19th of 1943. And they existed and played in the National Football League from 1944 through the 1948 season. And one has to wonder how a team from Beantown would gain the moniker of Yanks. Now, after all, the New York Yankees baseball team are the biggest rival to the Boston Red Sox in Major League Baseball. And the two cities aren't exactly, you know, best buddy situation here. They both respect each other, but competitively in a game of sports, New York and Boston, it just doesn't mix from my perspective. And it would be like a pro team in Columbus, Ohio, setting up as the, you know, Wolverines. You know, it just doesn't mix. You know, Ohio State and Michigan Wolverines don't mix. But the name of Yanks in Beantown has a bit of a backstory that is compelling and very interesting. I'm going to share it with you here during my research. Now, the owner of the team is a fellow by the name of Ted Collins. And Ted is a pretty interesting man. First and foremost, he was in show business. Collins was pretty good at managing and promoting stars of the era in the blossoming entertainment industry. And he managed singer Kate Smith, and according to multiple old newspaper articles, these two had a very unique and special relationship. You know, Kate Smith was probably, you know, like the Beyonce of her era, only she also had television and movie appearances. She was a very famous star. The Reading Eagle from a 1956 story shares a tale about how the two met. Evidently, back in 1930, Collins, who was then recording director for Columbia Records, missed a train when he was trying to return home from a trip back to his home at Long Island. And he had some time to kill in a big city, so he caught a Broadway show called Flying High, and that show featured a 21-year-old singer and dancer from Greenville, Pennsylvania, not too far from where I am, and she's named Kate Smith. And Smith was a portly young lady, and during that Flying High presentation, she was more than the butt of a joke more than a few times during the production show. And Collins was so impressed with the voice of Smith and her demeanor that he wanted to meet her backstage. And he sensed her unhappiness with the treatment she was receiving by the producers and other actors in the show that she was in, being the butt of her jokes because of her size and her weight. Very mean-spirited. And he aptly offered her a recording contract with Columbia. One that Collins would manage and split everything 50-50 with her for over three decades. Now, Kate Smith really trusted him. Ted Collins gave her big break, and she trusted him, and he always gave her good advice, put her on the right track, and everything. You know, Kate Smith was perhaps the biggest female star of the era. The two were so very close that Smith realized that Collins gave her the big break she needed and guided her on to not only lucrative singing career, but also other opportunities such as her own television show. And it's estimated that the partnership over the decades averaged about $27 million in those 30 years. An odd bit of information is that at one point in the 1950s, Collins and Smith owned the only two houses on an island in Lake Placid, New York. Must have been vacation homes. Well, back to football. Ted Collins decided at some point to use his newfound fortune from the Smith partnership to invest in other areas of entertainment. And a relationship of Collins and Smith afforded some consultation, evidently, too, as it was Kate Smith that picked the name Yanks for the football team. The reason was quite simple. To answer the earlier question, Collins' original plan with the team was that he wanted to have them play in New York City's Yankee Stadium. And the name Yank would be very befitting to that, and with a home field such as that. Unfortunately, a deal could never be worked out to play in the house that Ruth built. So, when he had a chance to strike a deal to play in another legendary baseball stadium up the road in Boston, Collins inked the deal. And according to the Sports Encyclopedia webpages, the team played its home games at first at Fenway Park. Games that conflicted with the Boston Red Sox schedule were held at the Manning Bowl in Lynn, Massachusetts. Not the Archie Manning and Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Totally different Manning back in a totally different era. Unfortunately, the Yanks could only manage a 2-8 record during that first inaugural season. And according to the Sports Encyclopedia's post, they say, an expansion team was a surprise for the NFL at that time, with the player shortages due to war. But 8 years after the Redskins moved to Washington, the NFL felt Boston was an undeserved market. The Yanks, coached by Herb Kopf, hosted the Philadelphia Eagles in their first game on September 26th, dropping a 28-7 decision. The Yanks would lose their next four games before earning a first win on October 29th, and the Yanks would beat the Brooklyn Tigers that day 17-14 at Ebbets Field. Following losses to the New York Giants and Chicago Bears, the Yanks would win their first home game, also beating the Tigers 13-6 at Fenway Park on November 19th. The Yanks' wins over the winless Brooklyn Tigers would be the only wins for the Boston Yanks all season long. Now, a player shortage caused by World War II forced the Yanks to merge with those same Brooklyn Tigers in the 1945 season, and they stayed branded as the New York Yanks, and they merged. Team played four games in Boston and one in New York. But fans from neither city cared when they finished with a 3-6-1 record. A season later, the Brooklyn Tigers owner Dan Topping announced his intentions to join the All-American Football Conference, or AAFC, in 1946. His NFL team was revoked, and all his players were reassigned to the Yanks. Collins finally had his chance to field a team in New York. They tried a stint in the Big Apple, but to no avail, and they stopped play as their moniker of the Yanks. The following season, with permission of the NFL, Ted Collins folded the Boston Yanks for tax purposes and then moved the players and the league franchise spot to New York, becoming the New York Bulldogs. On paper, you'd think that this might finally work out. However, they finally played a game at the Polo Grounds, sharing it with the Football Giants. The team was renamed the Yanks in 1950, and they were finally able to reach Collins' initial intentions of playing home games at Yankee Stadium. The franchise added many new players, most of them from the now-defunct AAFC. And it was still not the financial windfall that Collins dreamed of, so he sold the team back to the NFL in January 1952. The franchise was then aptly awarded to a Dallas group in 52, and the name became the Dallas Texans. Check out our story on the Dallas Texans when we talked with the author John Eisenberg. After drawing very few fans to four games in the Cotton Bowl, the Dallas owners gave up and the NFL took over the team for the rest of the season, during which the Texans had to play all their games on the road. At the end of that season, the franchise was disbanded, and it was at this time there was a move once again. Finally, in January 1953, the holdings of the defunct Dallas Texans were sold to Carol Rosenblum, and the franchise was moved to Baltimore, Maryland as the Colts. We know that Rosenblum would eventually trade the Colts to Jim Irsay in return for the LA Rams. And Irsay would then relocate the Colts from Baltimore one dark night to their new and current home of Indianapolis. Whew, that's pretty much a ride. They're all over the place here. So in essence, and by a stretch of the imagination, the Boston Yanks live on as the Blue Horseshoe in the Midwest at Lucas Oil Stadium. And, boy, that's some interesting facts that we get to learn about how a team has developed and changed names and cities and moved all around the country. I don't know, maybe this side of the Rams of any team moving as much as that team did, the Indianapolis Colts franchise, starting off as the Boston Yanks. But man, boy, they have a rich history, and kind of an interesting one when you tie in the names of Kate Smith, the starlet of the era, and the owner, Ted Collins, the original owner. So very interesting indeed, a very colorful past, and we hope you enjoyed this great little bit of preservation of football history. Hope you'll join us once again tomorrow for some more great sports history, because we talk about sports history each and every day of the year. Also, a few times a week, we have the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast, where we talk about more sports history outside of the realm of football, and with a little bit of football thrown in there too. We hope you enjoy that too on jerseydispatch.com and your favorite podcast provider, and on the sportshistorynetwork.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, it's found right here on the Sports History Network.